So, stopped the recorder because of a bird, but we're back now. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, so I think the question was about the uniqueness of the conflict, and you know, you were saying everyone is unique, but yeah, Britain had seen internal strife previously, obviously in Ireland with the 1916 Easter uprising and then the separation of the country. So there has always been a situation where things would go awry. It was different because now we were seeing, much like the Vietnam War, which was again in the late 60s, early 70s, we had our own situation there where we felt that it was internal strife, but with all sorts of external issues. The Americans, for instance, seemed to think that, or in our impression at the time, the Americans thought that this was a revolutionary war. This was the poor downtrodden that needed to throw off the oppressor's yoke. And therefore, the IRA found the America as a great place for fundraising. They would get a lot of money. And we felt that that was just the Americans not understanding the situation. There was a lot of weapons that were being brought in from offshore African countries and different issues that were going on. So it was quite different, but it was being played on your living room uncensored the way things never had been before on the television and radio. And then when the terrorism started being acted out against politicians and civilians in Britain, there was the typical stiff upper British lip of keep calm and carry on. So it never caused disruption to your day-to-day activities. But when you've got 14,000 soldiers marching on your streets in a place that size, you know, it changed them forever. And it was difficult to for a soldier, once you were actually there, to pin blame on anyone. Mm-hmm. You couldn't say this is the enemy, because there were so many people that were there simply to create trouble. There was the poor disaffected that wanted to protect themselves, and there was the complete criminal element, the political elements, the psychopath element on both sides, Protestant and Catholic. It then got way out of whack, and it just became crazies. Criminal element especially, there was a lot of money people were making in the name supposedly of righteousness.
Yeah, that's not really a side of it that you get in the popular history.
No, that's right. I mean, when we went in there, really, the Catholics welcomed us because they thought, because they were part of the United Kingdom. The counties there in the province are the ones that had not joined with ERA.
You know, ERA?
ERA is the rest of Ireland. So you see, the island of Ireland, and ERA is an independent country. So you needed a passport. EIRE. So yeah. That's the Emerald Isle. Mm-hmm. So the Emerald Isle sort of refers to the whole island of Ireland. But the southern country is, or at that point, had broken away from the United Kingdom. And set up its own country, and essentially Catholic based. Mm-hmm. The Protestants stayed in the north, and Ulster, the sort of Northern Ireland, was created. So there was free movement between Northern Ireland and England, Scotland, and Wales, but not with ERA. There's a border there that you require a passport to cross. So the people that were living there, the Catholic minority, felt that the British Army were now coming in to protect them against some of the horrors that a lot of the Protestants were waging upon them. And, the things that precipitated those issues were pure and simply racism based on religious birth. So the Catholics kind of thought we were good guys coming in to help, and you had tea and cookies and all the rest of it. And then there was this honeymoon period, then that wore off when they realized you weren't going to help them. You were just, in their eyes now, maintaining the status quo. So therefore you must be helping the bad guys. Mm. To us, you know, certainly in England and to a large extent in Scotland in those days, religion was not a driving force. You know, I mentioned my mother's day it had been, and my grandmother's day especially. But by my youth, it wasn't a big issue. In Northern Ireland, it was. Very much it was. And to the point where you would have a different accent and you went to different schools, you couldn't get jobs, you couldn't get housing. There was outright racism through beneficial acts for your friends of your political and religious kind. So it was, for us being on the street, it was a case of everybody wanted to kill us. So you didn't care who they were. There was, you know, essentially bad guys, some of which were actually good guys. Mm. But that's what the youth of the day did. I mean, you know, when you're 17, you join the army to go away and see exciting lands and visit foreign people, especially the British Army, because the Commonwealth was still so much then, the empire, if you will, that you were stationed in a whole number of different countries. So it was a way of seeing the world and being paid for it as well. And at times there wasn't a lot of work in the home countries. So you went away for the excitement.
And you found it.
You certainly did. You certainly did. Yeah.
Great. So have you, since moving to Canada and becoming more involved with the intelligence ward and that side of your military career, have you had an opportunity to return to Belfast? Or have you desired to do so?
I've had the opportunity because I've been back to Scotland twice, but I haven't gone. I don't have a desire to go. In the sense that it's, why would I not want to go? I think what they've done over there is they've gone through a couple of phases over the last 20 years of really trying to bury the hatchet and put things behind them and move forward. But there are still some very pig-headed people there, and I think you'll see that the violence, potential violence, is still very much simmering just below the surface. You've seen a lot of organizations renounce violence as a means to an end, but they still don't feel that they have achieved their victory. So they're trying it through different ways now, more political and through the ballot box. You've got quite a bit of tourism there now, looking at using the Troubles as a backdrop. Come and see the Shankill and the Falls Road and look at all the paintings on the walls and things. And that's just a reminder to me of, I think, the worst in people. Man's inhumanity to man knows no bounds. And some of the things that people did to each other there are, they're just as serious as anything we've seen in ISIS or Afghanistan or anywhere else. There were some gruesome murders and things there. So I don't have a desire to go back and pick at that scab.
Mm. But it's nice that you retained at least, you know, the camaraderie aspect that was taken away from the Troubles and
The Irish people are generous to a fault, even in the north. And, you know, I used to sort of surreptitiously at times go out. There was a chap there, he was another engineer, Royal Engineer, and he was into an organization called CAMRA, which is the Campaign for Real Ale. So he was a beer drinker that, you know, didn't just drink bottled beer. He knew where the best beers were made, hand-drawn beer, within the Camera organization. And he would travel around the province, and I'd go with him from times to see things. And the people there were the friendliest people you can imagine. They really, really were very open and down-to-earth and welcoming, until you sort of get on to the bit about religion. Because each side was really brought up by their mothers and fathers to show that the other was inferior or unfair. And you know, you would see that in Scotland to an extent with things like the Orange Lodge. But you had to go to Northern Ireland to see and still see the parades and things that go on with the sole intention of inciting people to violence. When you try and get people to talk about traditions or historical reasons, they have no background, no knowledge of why they do it. So that's the bit that I don't like, is thinking about the difficulties. Northern Ireland itself is a beautiful place. I traveled all over. You know, when you go up to the north and you know, go to the Giant's Causeway and things, and see how it attaches to Scotland, and down to the mountains of Mourne, down towards the south, where the IRA used to do a lot of training up there in the mountains and things. Just beautiful places. So I think it would be a nice place for other people to visit. And, you know, if I happened to be there, it would be fine. But, yeah, no, I don't think I would have a desire to go back.
That's fair. So. That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. I have run out of questions, and I feel like we've explored a lot of really great topics. So I would just like to say thank you so much for talking with me, and that's a wrap.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.